on the boots and scrape up the knuckles.
Oh, what a hit!
He got jacked.
This is the Big Red Rage with Perry Rhodes. Presented by Santan Ford.
Picked up by Rhodes at the 25. Cuts left to the 20, to the outside 10. Rhodes to the 5. Touchdown! Perry Rhodes!
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford and the Arizona Cardinals. We do this together. University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals. The Room Store. You'll always save more at The Room Store, Arizona's number one volume furniture store. And by Bud Light. It's the sure sign of a good time. Here we go.
Bang! There it is.
Oh, yeah! Lobbing it far side. Picked off by Rhodes at midfield.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Temperature rising, vision blurring, rage taking over.
From Marley Sports Grill at the Chandler Fashion Center.
Hey guys, where else would you rather be?
Here's Paul Calvisi.
Get the popcorn ready. It's going to be a show.
Ron Wolfley.
What's my name?
And Kerry Rhodes.
All on that, boy. I'm on it. Let's go!
Unleash the fury!
All right, it's a Wednesday night. Let's hear it. Are you ready to bring it? Who's ready to bring it? Absolutely. Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. In fact, there was a question from the crowd. Fittingly so. Hey, Wolf and Calvisi, aren't you guys, after doing the afternoon show, sick of each other at this point? And yes, that was an immediate and decisive yes from yours truly down here.
What do you mean after the afternoon show? I mean,
that's why.
Period.
Seated between us, each and every edition of the Big Red Rage, thankfully, is Kerry Rhodes,
yes.
Everyone.
Yes.
Yes, I'm the mediator.
And the headliner, let's put it that way. So, Kerry, this is a new show this season for all of us because it comes after a loss as opposed to the 4-0 start. So, how are you coping? How are you dealing? How have you recovered?
Well, it was a tough little stretch. We came off the close game to Miami, and then we had to bounce right back in a couple of days, 3 days, and go down to St. Louis and try to play a tough division opponent. So, it was tough for us. We started out slow, and they were able to get the win for them. So for us, we're just trying to bounce back, and we know it's just one loss. Nobody, I think only one team in this league is one undefeated, so defeat probably wasn't going to happen. But we know that we're on the right track, and we'll be fine.
Kerry, was that the general consensus in the locker room after the game? Did you guys feel lethargic? Did you feel like you got off to a slow start? Because that was one of the things you guys have really done well in the first four games, for the most part, is get off to a good start.
Yeah, no question. We want to get off to a great start every game, and we preach that. Coach does a good job of making sure we go into the game knowing that we want to be the aggressive team and get out to an early start. But the St. Louis game is just, it was, for us, we just started out slow. And I think it was due to the short week and the travel.
Right.
St. Louis was the team, the home team for that week, and it was tough for us.
And they were amped up. I think, you know, that dome has been dead the last few years. It was a different atmosphere this time around. Jeff Fisher and their strong start. I mean, they hadn't been above 500 since 2006. They hadn't even been 1-0. I mean, those fans, I mean, they were into it, and they were energetic.
Yeah, Fisher's a great coach. He has those guys playing and playing fast. It was actually funny. I was going down. We had a long day, so I went to the weight room to work out and just do a little bit. And some St. Louis fans were in there, and they were talking, and they're excited about the team. So it's definitely positive things for those guys.
So what is the general attitude right now of the locker room?
Well, we're fine. I think nobody wants to lose. Nobody likes to lose. But for us, we know that, like I said, we probably weren't going to go undefeated. So it was a tough loss, especially being St. Louis and in the division. But for us, we're ready to bounce back and show what we've worked on this week to get back prepared.
Would you say that you guys are stinging a little bit? You feel the pain of losing?
Oh, no question. I mean, we expect to go out and win every week, but like I said, we fell short last week. And for us, we're ready to get back out there and play a Buffalo team that we know we're going to get their best shot.
Boy, you know that too. They're going to come out. They're going to come out swinging.
No question.
Kerry, you're not on the injury report, but it sounds like you got a head cold of some sort.
Yeah,
need a decongestant or something? What's going on? Did you come down with something?
Yeah, man. The long week got me, but I'm actually looking for any suitors that want to come take care of me. So just let me know.
That's all right. You know what, Kerry? You want to get rid of that sinus infection?
Oh no.
Yeah.
Break up a wedge. Just cover a kickoff. We'll get rid of that thing.
You're right about that one.
Yep.
Wolf, you're done. Our next guest has 15 years in the league. You better start taking notes. That is next in the Big Red Rage with Kerry Rhodes, all presented by Santan Ford.
Jaw.
Three receivers to the right. And now shifting into the backfield is the fullback. Handoff up the middle. Bonnie Holiday greets D'Angelo Williams. Stands him up at the 32.
Boy, that is just a big-time play by a veteran trench warfare freak. Bonnie Holiday has been around forever. Stop and think about it. Stuffed him and made that play. That's just being a savvy vet.
Now, Wolf, are there other members of that trench warfare freak club, or is that something that was created in honor of our guest tonight?
No, I think that's something that party of one, Paul.
I see.
Exclusive.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's a degree of difficulty to top that intro, Kerry Rhodes, but here we are in the Big Red Rage, all presented by Santan Ford at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. But give it a shot as you introduce our very special guest tonight.
All right. My next guest for today's show, he's a vet. When I say vet, I mean he's like a vet, really a vet. He played in the first football game ever.
Okay.
In the National Football League.
All right.
His teammates, you want to hear his teammates? Jesus, Moses,
all right,
and David. But no,
we get it, girl.
He's great, man. I love him a lot. This our next guest is Bonnie Holiday.
Bonnie.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yes.
That's a slice of life for you in the locker room, isn't it, Bonnie? What we just got here, sort of the old guy jabs, that's every day for you.
Every day. But the interesting part about it is I remember a rookie coming into Green Bay. I got drafted by Green Bay out of North Carolina and doing the same thing every day to Reggie White. Every day I gave Reggie a hard time. He was he was 36 years old when I came into the league.
That is unbelievable. What kind of impact did Reggie have on your career?
Major impact. I mean, you talk about a guy who, to me, epitomized professionalism, showed me how to be a professional on and off the field, you know, how to live the life and just to be not only a player, an NFL player, a professional, but also to be a family man. So at the time, I didn't even understand how great the impact of playing with Reggie would have on me or would be on me, but certainly a great opportunity for me and one that I'll cherish forever.
What is one big moment from Reggie that sticks with you now?
You know what? There were so many moments. Watching him work every day. You know, I was just a young, bushy-tailed, bright-eyed guy coming into the league, and, you know, I thought I was working hard, but I wasn't working hard enough. And so he let me know early on about what it takes to be in this league. And he told me to pick it up. You know, don't take it for granted. He's like, I know you joke me every day about how old I am, but a lot of guys don't, most guys don't make it to this age, you know, this age and still play this game at a high level. And so working with him every day, I just saw what it took to continue on and to still, I guess, last, you know, from year to year in the NFL.
Vonnie, do you mind if I jump in here quickly and tell you a little Reggie White story quickly? Is that okay, Paulie, if
go
I do
for
that?
It,
let me jump in here. I was playing in 1988 at Sun Devil Stadium, and I got into the game in the first quarter, and all of a sudden I heard this, you know, this huge pile, and I turned around, and there's Reggie. He's on top of Neil Lomax, okay? And then in the second quarter, the same thing. You know, big pile, and, you know, I turned around, and there he is. He's on top of Neil Lomax. And then eventually the fourth quarter came around, and the exact same thing, only this time Neil screamed, you know, and I turned around and there's Reggie White, and Reggie helps Neil off the ground, and Reggie, an ordained minister, of course, said, Neil, Jesus loves you. Does that sound like him, first of all?
That is Reggie.
And Neil looked at him, who was also a believer, and said, I know he does. What's your problem? Quick little Reggie White story. But does that sound like
exactly,
him, buddy?
Exactly.
I mean,
like
that
him.
Was a man who lived it.
He lived
that
it.
That was a man that spoke it and lived it and walked it.
Who approached whom first, Bonnie? I mean, how terrified or timid were you in his presence, you know, as a rookie? And there's the great Reggie White. Did he sort of have to break the ice with you?
He didn't. It was crazy. I actually, I remember getting drafted by Green Bay, and I had to fly in from Detroit or somewhere, Chicago, on this little small prop plane. It was only one other guy on the plane flying into Green Bay that day. I'm like, this is an NFL city. This is what all the glamour's about. Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. And so I get to the facility, and I'm walking. I'm getting a tour of the facility, and I walk out of the cold tub, hot tub area, and I go through a door in this big shadow. I bump into somebody, and I'm like, oh, excuse me, sir. And then I look up, and it's Reggie. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Reggie White. You know, Mr. White or something
right.
like that. He's like, don't call me Mr. White. I'm Reggie. I'm your teammate. And so, you know, that's kind of how we broke the ice. And after that, you know, he was just my teammate. And like I said, you know, playing with him that year, took it for granted. Just thinking that he would be there forever, for a few more years, and not really even understanding the magnitude of, you know, the experience of playing with him and being in the locker room and meeting rooms and going out to dinner with him every day, how that would affect my career and affect me as a person.
You don't care. There's only one Reggie White, obviously, but was there a guy when you were a rookie that you were sort of in awe of?
In awe? On my team, the Jets, it was Curtis Martin. He was the guy that always did it the right way. He taught me as a rookie the same way as his experience with Reggie White was. He just taught me how to be a pro and taught me that this game goes by fast and it's not going to be around long. So cherish those moments.
So as older veterans, more experienced veterans in the locker room,
do you
feel a responsibility to pass that along?
Yeah, I don't know about you, Kerry, but I certainly do. I take that role very seriously.
He does.
I was very fortunate, like I said, coming in, having guys like Reggie White, Brett Favre, Leroy Butler, Gilbert Brown. I mean, so many names. Dorsey Levin's guys that I played.
Great team.
Yeah.
So I had an opportunity to be a sponge and absorb all that from those guys. And so for me, I feel like I owe that back to the young guys. So every year, that's the approach I take. Like, if a guy is willing and wants it, then I'm going to give him as much as I can.
Even though these young guys are trying to take your job at some occasions, right?
It's competition. I love it. I love it. That's why, you know, every year I'm at home working as hard as I am because I know some young kid is out there who's bigger, faster, stronger that I have to come into camp and compete with and beat out.
And I kind of did the same thing with I had a little understudy named Darrell Revis when I was in New York, who's pretty good now. So I taught him a few things.
Well, I tell you, I know what you love about Vonnie as well there. In addition to everything else is the fact that he walked up and called you one of the young guys, Kerry. Because I know you struggled with your birthday earlier in the season, right? The big 3-0. Vonnie comes up and says, yeah, you
the
young
big
guys.
3-0. Yeah, he called me young pup still.
Exactly.
So I'm still young in somebody's eyes.
I remember when he came in the league. That was in Kansas City.
Yep.
Hey, you'll never be out of touch when you download the new Arizona Cardinals mobile app. It's free and available on iPhone, Android, and BlackBerry. Visit azcardinals.com/app. We'll come back and talk about, what happened in St. Louis, and now what happens going forward. That is next in the Big Red Rage with Kerry Rhodes and Bonnie Holliday. Williams at the 30-yard line of the 35. At the 40, he gets nailed, and he's down. He's not moving. Oh, my goodness.
Man.
Unfortunately, Ryan has an issue with the shoulder that's going to require surgery, so that's going to put him out for the season. I feel horrible for Ryan, but what I told Ryan when we sat down was that at least this time he won't have to deal with it through an offseason. He'll be able to go through the offseason program. He'll be able to go through practices, and that'll get him in better shape, ready to go for next year.
All right, Cardinals lose the game. They lose the services of Ryan Williams the rest of this season. He was in an amazingly upbeat mood on Monday night of the Cardinals Kingpin Challenge, the charity event going on there. And we'll share a little bit of what he had to say here on the Big Red Rage with Kerry Rhodes, Bonnie Holliday, yours truly, Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley. But guys, you heard Dave Passion, the call on the Cardinals radio network about he was motionless.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, let's be honest. At first, I mean, you know, we were fearing the worst on the sideline, were we not?
Oh, no question. I thought it was definitely more serious than just a shoulder.
And he told me the other night that initially the doctors came out, they thought it was a broken neck. They don't move, because there's, you know, the protocol, the procedures to go through just in case. And he said he just got that direct helmet straight under his shoulder pads, right to the shoulder. He ends up with what essentially amounts to a very rare fracture of his shoulder. But he was so numb, he couldn't even do a push-up to get off the field. It was just his whole side of his body went numb. But I know in the locker room, man, he is so well liked, and Bonnie guys felt so bad for him, especially when he missed last season with a knee injury.
No doubt about it. I mean, Ryan is one of those guys that can be a special player in this league. You know, we've seen him in practice, how elusive he is. He's made all of us look a little foolish at times trying to tackle him in the hole one-on-one. Mm-hmm. And so we had such high expectations for him coming in as a rookie and then coming off the injury this year, how hard he worked to battle back. The unbelievable psychological part of it all, you know, to work through that for a year straight or longer, mm-hmm. to get back to to be in a position to play and play at a high level. So for him to have that injury definitely was heartbreaking. But he's a guy that I know is going to work through this. It's such a rare injury. I mean, they were explaining it to me.
Yeah.
And
they say you can go 10 years and they don't see it. That's how rare it is. The manner in which it got fractured.
Yeah, they said the doctors for the Cardinals said that you see it a lot in car accidents.
That's how violent the hit has to be.
People who were in car accidents. And when you go back and you slow it down and you look at that collision, that was, there's no doubt about it. It knocked him in the air sideways, I want to say 3 yards. It was like that. It was like getting T-boned.
Man. So when you guys looked at the game film, you know, and a lot of fans remember that play, but I don't know, what stands out to you guys on the defensive side of ball in that stand? When you were in there and you went through the film sessions, Kerry, I don't know, what struck a chord with this Cardinals defense, you think?
Well, we played solid. We played a really good game, actually, but we just can't give up the big play, and that's part of the whole defense as a whole. I mean, you may see a corner or a safety get beat, but it's a whole defensive unit getting the job done. So for us, we just can't give up the big play.
How about you, Bonnie? What was your reaction?
The same thing. When you come out of the game and you look at a stat sheet and you see a quarterback 7 for 20-something, not a lot of success in a run game.
4 of 14 on third down.
4 of 14 on third down. You feel pretty good about that game, mm-hmm. about what you did. And then you go back and you look at the big play, the big plays we gave up in the game. And that's what's disappointing, because those are all plays that we can fix. Or if guys, the communication was there, played the proper technique, we don't give that up. I mean, we really felt like coming out of that game, watching that film, we should have given up maybe 6 points.
Yeah.
You know, Vonnie, you're a guy that has played many, many games. You've been around a long time, right? 15 years, right? I'm not trying to make 15. You feel old here. I'm trying to pay you a bit of a compliment here. But you've seen a lot of teams, and you've experienced what it's like to be prepared for a game and where your intensity level is. Do you think your intensity level, the team's intensity level, and the defense in particular, do you think it was where it's been through the first 4 games before St. Louis?
You know, going into that game, I felt like like it was. I felt like guys were focused. I felt like guys in the locker room were ready to go out. And, you know, it's the big stage. I mean, that's what I always say. Look, guys, you're on a big stage. You know, how are you going to perform? And it's Thursday night football. Everybody's watching. Let's go out and play. And so I felt like we were ready to play. Now, once we got in the game, that first drive, of course, every team comes out in that first drive and they have some different things or some different ways that they're going to attack you before they settle into what they do. And unfortunately, that's what happened to us. You know, we felt like going in the game, they're going to have to run the ball. He's going to get rid of the ball quickly. We had a misread here, a misread there, a missed tackle here. And before you know it, we're down in the ball game. And then just offensively, it was loud in that dome. And our offensive line, their defensive front played very, very well.
You know, I noticed you early in the game, Bonnie. It came down, and you're actually sort of tutoring the two offensive tackles. You were trying to show the Cardinals offensive tackles what the Rams defensive guys were trying to do to them, weren't you? A little bit.
I definitely. Because, you know, we got some young guys playing over there. And for, unfortunately for them, they don't have older veteran guys, playing in that position. And so when I saw them walking off the field looking kind of dejected, like with their heads down, like, look, guys, it's a long ball game. We can fix this. Let's go out and compete and play hard and definitely try to give us some pointers. If it can help, you know, it's great.
It was a one-possession game to the very end. To me, it was like you're waiting for someone to make a play, for that play to happen, and it just didn't transpire.
Yeah, that's what it is. I mean, for us, we always say somebody's going to make a play to help us, propel us to get the win, but it just didn't come in that game.
All right, I'll tell you what, we'll come back. We'll talk about the defense more in detail. Cardinals single-game tickets on sale. Purchase yours today, 1-800-745-3000 or Ticketmaster.com. It's the Big Red Rage, Kerry Rhodes and Bonnie Holiday. 12 minutes to go in overtime. Shotgun snap. Tannehill the pass. Hit! Ball goes fluttering in the air. Picked off by Rhodes at the 50. Rhodes at the 45-yard line. And then is tackled at the 48. Tannehill got hit. And the ball fluttered in the air. And it was picked off by Rhodes. And the Cardinals take over.
The ball, you're right, fluttered in the air. It was an easy pick for Kerry Rhodes.
Tell you, that was on third down. Kerry, you took it back to the Miami 47, and then that set up, of course, Jay Feely's game-winning 46-yarder 7 plays later to make the Cardinals 4-0 at that point. And we've yet to talk about that because of the Thursday night game a week ago. Welcome back into the Big Red Rage, Kerry Rhodes and Bonnie Holiday, all presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. Was it me, or did that interception, did that fluttering ball, as Dave Pasch called, just hang up the air like in slow motion? It took forever to get to you almost.
It took forever, and I almost dropped it. It was so easy, and I was already breaking on the ball. So once it got tipped up, it kind of threw me off a little bit.
So like a knuckleball in baseball. You're just waiting for it to reach home plate almost, right?
Yeah, it was coming so slow. I actually jumped. I don't know why. And it came in. I just, okay, and caught it. But it was a good play for us. Paris made a good hit and made the play easy for me.
Quarterbacks don't like that. When somebody's coming right up the A-gap, I mean, you guys did that twice in that Miami game, and there were interceptions on both accounts, right? Darryl Washington, well, turnovers at least, Darryl Washington and then Paris Leonard, correct?
Yeah.
Quarterbacks like a clean pocket. They want to be able to step up and see the field and get the ball out, go through their mechanics and get rid of it. And when someone's right in their face, they hate it.
Yeah.
Okay, five consecutive overtime victories at University of Phoenix Stadium in front of the Red Sea. How do you guys explain that? Is that luck?
I don't think it's luck. I mean, I think that we're conditioned now. That we're in that situation that guys really believe that we're going to pull it out, that we're going to be the team in that situation to come out on top. And I mean, you can feel it on the sideline. I mean, even last year, a couple of those games where they were lined up and you seemed like they had the game at hand. All they had to do was, you know, basically a chip shot for a field goal. Mm-hmm. And Calais, one of the guys, blocks it. I mean, we feel like that's what's going to happen. We're going to get it done.
Boy, that really is a powerful thing, isn't it, Kerry, when you have that type of confidence in close games?
Yeah, we expect to pull them out. I mean, and when we get it to that point where it's tied or it's a close game going into the fourth quarter or overtime, I mean, we don't think we're going to lose.
I don't know if there's a better attribute a football team could have than winning the close games and doing it over and over and over again. It says a lot about the guys that are on that sideline and in that locker room.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to have a winning season, it is an absolute must in the NFL, where the vast majority of the games are decided by a touchdown or a field goal. You rewind 10 years ago, Wolf, and I can tell you, you know, on the sideline, there was a totally different sense and vibe that in a close game, it was more like, oh boy, and guys would swallow hard.
Oh, yeah.
What's going to happen now? I mean,
shorts up around the neck.
You guys have been on teams like that, right? Where the confidence level wasn't nearly as high in a tie game.
I don't know about you, but I certainly have.
I have.
Here we go.
It's palpable on the sideline. It can be.
No question.
All right, I tell you what. It's time for It's All About You, presented by Santan Ford and Kerry Rhodes. As I kind of explain to the folks what I'm holding up right here and showing everyone.
Yes.
And this, of course, is October, and the NFL, it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So what have you brought along tonight?
Yeah, I brought a couple of souvenirs, man. I've been directly hit with the breast cancer thing before with my grandmother. So it's very near and dear to me, and it's dear to a lot of players on the team as well, not just myself. So just brought a little memorabilia for people to have. All the fans here today, you'll get this bracelet and just wear it proudly. It's a great cause and a great thing. The NFL did the team with it.
You know, one of those 24-hour wristbands says Cardinals, has Rhodes 25 on it. And, you know, you guys have a teammate, a dear friend of yours and teammate on the defense who is just directly impacted in a very large way, you know, during the preseason, Nick Eason losing his mother. And, mm-hmm. you know, he's been talking about it this week and trying to raise awareness. And, I mean, you guys sort of indirectly lived that with him, I know, in a lot of ways, right? And you guys were there for him throughout the preseason. It was very, very difficult. He had to leave the team for a week.
Yeah, he did. And, you know, Nick, I mean, just incredible courage. The role he took on, taking care of his mom and bringing her out to Arizona, just making sure that he did everything he could for her, you know, before she was eventually, she eventually succumbed to breast cancer. I had an opportunity, you know, personally to go to the hospital here in Arizona and meet her. And I walk into the room and just to see, she's a spitting image of Nick, and the personalities are the same. Wow. I mean, laughing and joking. I wasn't expecting that when I walked into the room after getting the news from Nick. And then for 5 days later, for her to not be with us anymore, just really hit home. And so I'm personally, when you hear all the stories, I mean, Nick, I mean, I have a very dear friend now. She's like a mom to me. She's going through the chemo and the radiation for breast cancer. It just affects so many people. This cancer is mind-boggling, mind-blowing when you think about how many people day in and day out are going through that fight for their lives and dealing with breast cancer.
So if you haven't heard the story, you go to azcardinals.com, and Darren Urban has a very moving story, Nick Eason, and just sort of the narrative of what he went through and everything. And she was a very young mother. She was only 50 years of age, passing away, and just everything she taught him and everything he has taken away from her, the strength and courage, as you guys said, has been amazing to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Nick was greatly influenced, of course, by his mother. What about you guys? Who influenced you the most in your life?
For me, I would say my father. He's been a big player in my life and a big person in my life. He's helped me with big decisions and just been there whenever I needed him.
I'm personally a child of the village. You know, I was raised by the village. I grew up in a home. My father wasn't there, but with five women. And I think I would rather have had a father in the home, because when it comes to the discipline and dealing with five women day in and day out. But they certainly made sure that I stayed on the right track and did the right things. And, you know, my grandmother was very instrumental in my life. My mother, very hard worker, worked in a mill, 12-hour shifts a day, but still found ways to make it to my events, all my extracurricular activities, my games. My sisters were big influences in my life. So the strength and the courage of those women around me, my uncles stepped up and were big parts of my life and showing me how to work on cars and the importance of hard work. All those people.
But as you blossomed into a big, tough, big man on campus, high school and college, you always were Vonnie to the ladies at home, and the discipline was always intact, I would presume?
Always. It still is. I still hear about it.
That is amazing. Yeah, and the deference that has been shown and so forth. Yeah, that's great. Absolutely. Hey, a reminder, with each passing touchdown this season, Wells Fargo is going to donate $500 to local schools for the Passing Touchdowns for Schools Fund. Wells Fargo, together we'll go far. All right, we'll get into the running back situation next. What is this situation exactly? We'll name names. How equipped are the Cardinals on offense in that running game to get it going against the Buffalo Bills? It is the Big Red Rage. Kerry Rhodes, Vonnie Holiday, all presented by Santan Ford at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. Powell tripped up and keeps his feet and keeps going at the 10, at the 5, and tackled at the 4. Get that man a uniform. Here's a pitch to Powell, running right, cuts back left to the 5, touchdown. A beautiful run by William Powell.
He did everything well. I mean, he did protection well. He ran the ball well. He did a nice job with his routes. He was very productive. I think that's one of the things that really stands out.
All right, Ken Wisenhunt. Yeah, it's been a must, a mandate for William Powell just to make the team. He's had to stand out every single opportunity he had. Yeah. He was a guy who was an undrafted rookie free agent 2 years ago who got more carries in a preseason game than he got his entire career at Kansas State. Welcome back into Big Red Rage. Kerry Rhodes, Vonnie Holiday, all presented by Santan Ford. Ron Wolfley, yours truly, Paul Calvisi. But he did turn heads, Kerry, in the preseason. I mean, he earned his way onto the roster.
There's no question about it. I'm very confident in what he can do. I want to see him actually get in the real game and show what he can do in the real game. But in preseason, he looked like the real deal to me.
What did he show you in the preseason? I mean, sort of break it down. I mean, you know, you make a living trying to stop and tackle running backs, yeah. And at times he was a very hard guy to bring down.
Yeah, usually for him, the first guy doesn't bring him down. And that's a unique and a rare thing for a back. When you have that as a back, you can be special. And he's shown that. But to be consistent and do that on the in a regular season game where the bullets are live, that's a different thing. So you have to see.
And he was doing it against guys, let's be honest, Vonnie, at that time in the game. A lot of those guys are no longer in the NFL, right?
You're right, but we call him Weepo. The thing about Weepo is he has great vision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he always seems to find the hole and find a way to get out of trouble. And like Kerry says, when you can make the first guy miss, you can do some good things in this league. So he's an exciting guy to watch. He's a guy that everybody's rooting for. Everybody was rooting for in preseason because, you know, he had a pretty good preseason last year for us.
He did, yeah.
And unfortunately, it didn't work out for him. But he's a guy who stayed the course, came back this year, and took advantage of every opportunity. So you're always rooting for guys like that.
Yep.
You know what I like about him, guys? The fact that, number one, not only does he have great vision, but he's also a north-south runner for the most part. He's a guy that pretty much resigns himself to the fact that he's going to have to run in between the tackles because he doesn't have breakaway speed. He realizes he doesn't have great speed. He's not one of these guys a la Chris Johnson who's jumping out of holes to try to get the edge, try to get the corner. I love the fact that he's a north-south runner. I love the fact that if he sees a crease or a crevice, he'll turn that crease into a 3, 4, or 5 yard gain.
Yeah.
And that is a real skill. And since the offensive line hasn't been exactly punching holes in opponents' front seven, I like the matchup the synergy with Wepo in the offensive line because he has that ability to do it. The other thing I like, and I know you guys as defenders will appreciate this as well, but his ability to hold up in blitz pickup, mm-hmm. his ability to hold up, and especially if you're going to use play action. And you know, you've got to have those running backs that can hold up if you're going to use play action. So I'm really interested to see how Wepo does.
Yeah, me too.
Guys, as a defense, how important it is for the opposing offense, you know, for their own benefit, to just establish the threat of a run? You know, because, you know, look, nobody expects or says the Cardinals absolutely need to go out and rush for 200 yards a game. Yeah. But the threat has to be there that they're going to be a balanced offense, right?
Yeah, the threat has to be there. I think it makes the offense that much better when they can run the ball. You can do so much, so many other things off it. I mean, the play action pass, which we had success against when against Philly. Mm-hmm. I mean, the first down, the play action pass, and through the deep pass to Larry. I mean, it just brings defenders up. And you have to bring that extra, the eighth guy in the box. You get to have one-on-one coverage. And then it makes everything that much easier.
Because, Vonnie, even though that run might go for 2 yards on first down, yeah. it does something else, doesn't it?
No doubt about it. As a defensive lineman, when you have an opportunity, you're playing against an offense, you know you can pin your ears back and get after the quarterback.
Yeah.
It makes it real difficult for that offensive line. But when they can mix in a run and keep you off balance and you got to, you know, respect the run because they're having success, that sets up the play action like he says, because now you can't just get into your pass rush. You have to respect the down block. You have to respect the base block or the cutoff. And so you change this. It changes your mindset as a defensive player when they have a balanced attack and they keep you on your toes a little bit.
So far, who is the best play action passing team you guys have played against?
So far.
Does one stand out at all? What about even last year? The 49ers?
Well, no doubt about it. The 49ers, because last year, I know, because they're yeah. committed to running the ball.
Yeah.
You know, they are committed to having a balanced attack, and it allows Alex Smith to put that play action in there and get the ball down the field and get a chance to make some plays down the field in the passing game, because you have to respect Gore and those guys in the run game.
See, it's one of the big reasons why I think you guys defensively actually carry a bit of the responsibility for protecting the quarterback. I'm talking about the Arizona Cardinals quarterback. You guys defensively, I think, are the strength of this football team. And it's important that you guys go out and you mitigate and control the points allowed so that the Arizona Cardinals offense can actually stay three-dimensional, that we can run into the pile even if you're not being effective. You know, you can run it and throw it and use play action, and that helps protect Kevin Cobb, doesn't it?
No question. We're putting the onus on ourselves right now to – I mean, we're playing decent, but we gotta ramp it up a little bit more. We gotta play a little bit more, a little better, and if we gotta hold people to zero, we gotta do it. So that's how we're attacking things right now.
We have to hold teams to field goals. We have to create turnovers. We have to create short field to help our offense out and help them get on track and get going.
Yeah.
Well, try and put a position where the Cardinals have the lead, right? Because it's a different dynamic. We saw it in St. Louis. Like, as you mentioned, the Rams' defensive front, their pass rush was able to come with impunity at that point,
It goes back for us to starting fast. When we start fast, we can do that.
Yep. All right, and a reminder, St. Joe's Health and Wealth Raffle coming spring of 2013. For more information, visit healthwealthraffle.org. That is healthwealthraffle.org. All right, we'll talk about that Buffalo offense. The Bills have been in the Valley all week, and you know they got a real bad taste in their mouth coming off that 49ers game. We'll talk about that next. It is the Big Red Rage. Kerry Rhodes, Vonnie Holiday, presented by Santan Ford at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
Miller in the backfield. Fitz is going shotgun. Second and 10 at the Kansas City 17. The snap. And he will run it. Spiller, big hole left side at the 10 at the 5. Heads to the end zone. Touchdown! C.J. Spiller. Touchdown, Buffalo. The Bills take the lead.
Is the real deal. There is no doubt about it. Cardinals and Bills on Sunday, week 6 of the NFL. It is the Big Red Rage. Kerry Rhodes, Vonnie Holiday, Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley, all presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. All right, guys, so what's the risk in paying maybe too much attention to that game film against the Niners? I know film never lies, but, I mean, that was an ultra-dominating performance by San Francisco, was it not?
It certainly was. I mean, you look at the score. I haven't seen the game, but I know that when you can hold a team to 3 points, and I think they scored, what was it?
45
points.
Yes. And they had
that's a beating. So these guys are going to come in here fired up.
I saw the game, and by the end of the third quarter, San Fran was flexing their muscles. So I was like, yeah, they're putting on them pretty bad. But it's, San Fran, the last two games have I think outscored their opponent 80-3.
So 80-3.
It's been crazy.
Yeah, they took that loss to Minnesota personal, and you know, they've definitely responded and rebounded in an extra large way. There's no doubt about it. I mean, some of the numbers from that game. I mean, you know, for example, the Niners became the first NFL team ever to rush for 300 and pass for 300 in the same game. So let's just zoom out the big picture here, guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, okay, you just took a beating and a beatdown like that. What's the psyche like in the Bills' locker room, and how do you think they're going to respond on Sunday? What are you expecting?
Oh, I told you, we're going to get their best effort. I mean, they're hearing all week about how bad they are, how terrible they are as a team, as a franchise, or whatever. So, I mean, any professional, any pro at what they do is going to come out and be ready to go. So I expect nothing but the best from them.
And not only are they hearing about, you know, from the national level how bad they are, but they're here in Arizona, in our city right now, hearing mm-hmm. about what we have going on and how we got to get back on track and how important this game is for us. Mm-hmm. And so they're going to come out, you know, with a big stick, or try to swing a big stick. But we have to come out and jump on these guys early. And hopefully if we can come out and jump on them early, you know, they'll start to remember some of that stuff from San Fran last week and revert back to some of that. But, you know, I'm sure it's going to be a tough game. We got a lot to prove. We went out and we stunk it up on last Thursday night. And we have a lot to prove to ourselves. I mean, we got to go back, and we need this game. We're at home in front of our fans. We expect everybody to come out. We expect it to be loud. And we need to get our 12th man going out there.
The 12th man right there. There you go.
Well, Wolf, I know you guys were talking with Ken Wisenhunt, and, you know, the question was about, hey, you know, the Bills, oh, boy, they're going to be ornery coming out. Then he kind of cut you guys off and said, wait a minute. We don't have such a good taste in our mouth either, right?
Yeah, exactly. No doubt about it. He said, we're going to be stinging when we come out and play. And there's no doubt about it. I think the Buffalo Bills, Paulie, they're at the point in any season, 2-3 on the season. Things are starting to go south for them quickly, right? They've got three healthy defensive ends. That defense has been brutalized. I mean, you go over the stats, number 31 in yards per game, number 30 in rushing yards per game, number 30 in third down, number 30 in red zone defense, number 31 in points allowed. This is a defense that has been ravaged, and now all of a sudden their backs are to the wall. And I will tell you, it's been my experience, and Bonnie and Kerry, if you feel like jumping in, please do, but it's been my experience when you get a team that they know their season could go south. They lose this game. Now, all of a sudden, they're 2-4 on the season instead of 3-3. Their backs are to the wall. They're losing guys. Football players are warriors within the context of what I speak. And what I speak is not fighting for the freedom of our country. I'm talking about the context of professional football. They are warriors. And when you back them up against a wall, guess what? Here it comes. And I think the Buffalo Bills, guys, I think they're up against that wall right now.
Yeah, they are.
We can't kid ourselves.
No, we know it's exactly what you said. I mean, they're going to come out swinging. Their backs are against the wall. They got a bad taste in their mouth. And like you said, Coach said the same. We have that same taste.
That's right.
For us, we're going to come swing back. And it's going to be a fist fight. It's going to be very, very physical Sunday. And the fans are going to put us over the top. We're not really worried about them that much.
You know, it's so funny you say that, though, because there is a symbiotic relationship that is forming between this football team and the Red Sea at University of Phoenix Stadium, isn't there?
Yes, it's a great place to play. I played in a lot of stadiums. And I mean, first of all, it's a beautiful, beautiful venue. And then you go in there, and when our fans get going, and it's a tough place to play.
Loud.
And CJ Spiller, is their main weapon on offense? We started this segment here in that touchdown. CJ Spiller, he's the real deal?
Oh, he's a real deal. He can take the carry and take it the distance on any play. So for us, whenever you have a game changer like that, you have to pay attention to him.
All right. Well, we'll see. And we'll come back and we'll get some more on this Cardinals defense and what has to happen. And how about a guy who's having a Pro Bowl season in Darrell Washington? That's all straight out of the Big Red Range. Kerry Rhodes and Bonnie Holiday, presented by Santan Ford.
Bradford takes, going to be a pass, seven-step drop, going to get drilled and sacked. Oh, he got creamed by Darrell Washington at the 24-yard line. Darrell Washington came flying at the quarterback.
Yeah, Ray Horton moving him around, and Darrell Washington found a little crease, got through there. Sam Bradford got his peanut buttered.
Oh, man. He can bowl. We found that out on Monday night. Then yesterday was his 26th birthday. but he sure can ball. He can sure play football and play linebacker. His name is Darrell Washington, number 58. And yes, he is having a banner season, a breakout season. And a, you know what? I think the Cardinals saw it coming. They got him under a contract extension earlier this season.
They paid that guy.
Yes. They see the potential there. Yes, and yes. He has delivered. There has been big time return on investment so far. No doubt about it. Welcome back into the Big Red Rage, Kerry Rhodes, Bonnie Holiday. Mm-hmm. All right. So give us a word on Darrell Washington. If somebody from another team saying, what's 58 all about? What would you tell him?
Speed, speed, speed. Speed, physical speed. Speed,
and speed. Speed.
Yeah.
Yeah. In recognition as well? I mean, is he learning now?
No question. He definitely, I can see him on tape, and he's pointing out stuff, and he's pointing out plays. He's studied a lot, I can tell. He's one hell of a player, man.
How much more improvement do you think? What's his ceiling on Darrell Washington there, Vonnie?
The sky's the limit. I mean, this guy, just physically, the physical attributes. I mean, just how fast he is. He's physical. He's strong. He's going to get stronger. He's probably going to get a little more weight on him. His knowledge of the game is going to continue to grow. I mean, you see it just game, each game growing. And his confidence to go out and make plays is growing. So he is certainly one of those guys that impressive to watch. He's a guy I work with also. He's a guy who, to me, to be a young guy, has an awful lot of maturity, so early in his career, on and off the field, which is important. Mm-hmm. And it shows in how he plays and produces on the field on Sundays.
Vonnie, in all your years of playing in the league, have you seen guys sign the big money contract and get better? How often does that actually happen? I look at Calais Campbell. Here's a guy that has gotten better, I think, since he signed the extension. And Darrell Washington, much the same way.
Two young guys who, like I said, they we expect them to make big plays for us, and they come out and they play hard for us week in and week out. And a lot of times, like you say, you know, guys get the big contract, get the money, and they kind of lose some of that hunger, some of that desire.
Absolutely.
You see it happen too often. That's not the case with these two guys. I mean, I think, you know, I know personally for me, you know, after you get the contract, you work so hard to get it, but after you get it, then you have to prove.
You got to prove your worth.
Your worth, you know, why you got the contract. Yeah. Every game, every year, prove your worth. I mean, that's just the way this league is. It's a show-me league, and when you get the big ticket on you, the big bullseye, people want to see, you know, the fans expect it, we expect it as players, the coaches expect it. Yeah. You have to expect it from yourself to go out and earn that contract.
And it's a tough thing. I mean, the pressure of doing it's tough. I mean, you have to go out and perform every game. Like you said, your game's going to be scrutinized if you don't play well. So for those guys, they've come out and really taken on the challenge of getting better. They've done a good job of it.
Did you guys see the Monday night game and Brian Cushing and how he went down?
Oh, I didn't see it. I did.
You did? Yeah. And the Jets guard, Matt Slauson, who, you know, went low and sort of, you know, I mean, there's been a lot of reaction to that. And I know a lot of defensive guys taking umbrage with that, saying, hey, you know what? The NFL needs to protect us, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was tough to watch him going down on a play like that.
It really is. And that's, for as long as I've been in the league, that's been an issue. I remember, you know, the battles between the Packers and the Broncos, and the Broncos had the offensive line that cut everybody down. And, you know, at some point, I mean, they do so change the rules so much to protect quarterbacks, defensive receivers. It's time to step up and do something on the other side of the ball, because our livelihoods, I mean, that's important too. You know, a guy goes down and gets a knee blown out like that, who knows if he's going to ever come back and be the same player. And in this league, your health, it's really all you have. You know, that's how you go out and get a chance to play and make plays. And when they take that away, they're taking away a lot.
Back to wrap up this edition of the Big Red Rage with Kerry Rhodes and Bonnie Holiday, presented by Santan Ford. All right, guests on the show receive a fine gift from Bueller Swiss Watches, available at Gold Rush Jewelry in Casa Grande and Arizona Watch and Jewelry in Tucson. Yes, indeed. Welcome back into the Big Red Rage as we wrap it up with Kerry Rhodes and Bonnie Holiday. All right, so guys, let me ask you something. Do you guys play your best when you guys are doubted and discounted and hated and berated and beat down and beat up and all that? You know, because for being 4-1, you know how everyone reacts and overreacts week to week. So they saw the loss, they saw the sacks. I mean, I just get the sense you guys kind of relish that role on game day, coming in as the underdog and being discounted and disrespected and dismissed and all that sort of stuff.
I think it's just an added chip, you know, an added chip on your shoulder you take into the game. Throughout the first part of the season, you know, we've had success. And as one of the older guys on the team, leaders on the team, you know, we're certainly happy about that. But staying grounded, staying humble is very important. And remembering what got us here. Mm-hmm. You know, we're a hungry team. People don't respect us, even after we beat New England. No respect. You beat Seattle, who's supposed to come in. They're supposed to be the great Seattle Seahawks. They were supposed to beat us. We beat them. No respect. We come out, I mean, the refs tried to give them an extra play to beat us, and they still didn't beat us.
Right.
You come beat New England. Still not quite there. You know, it started to make a little noise. People started talking
no,
a little bit.
No, New England didn't play well.
They didn't play well. They got play. Somebody
right.
got hurt.
That's right. Yeah.
And so that's why they lost. And then even Philly coming in, beating Philly, still not getting respect. Go out and set on Thursday night, that's what they expected to see. So for us, you talk about Buffalo being backed into a corner and playing with their backs against the wall. We should always play that way. We're that hungry team that works hard week in and week out. Got to prove ourselves, and we just have to keep that mentality. And then we'll see what happens.
Maybe that St. Louis game then going forward is that reminder you need the rest of the season, right? Play with that extra edge, perhaps.
Yeah, that's the team we are. We're a hard-working lunch pail team. We're not a flashy team. We're a team that comes out and does it right, the right way every time. And that's the way we're going to win.
Not just one guy, but
everybody.
Everybody. A bunch of guys stepping up and making plays.
All right, special thanks to Jim O'Mondra, Walt Ellis, Derek Burns, Tiffany Witt, Ron Wolfe, I'm Paul Calvisi, Bonnie Holiday, Kerry Rhodes. Say goodbye.
Bye-bye.
All right, thank you.
You've been listening to the Big Red Rage with Kerry Rhodes.
Rhodes to the five, touchdown!
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford and the Arizona Cardinals. We do this together. University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals. The Room Store. You'll always save more at The Room Store, Arizona's number one volume furniture store. Bud Light. It's the sure sign of a good time. Here we go. This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.